So as I prayed before the last conference, we, in a certain way, dedicate this whole day, or we consecrate ourselves once again, in a certain way, to our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Fatima. And we, you know, at the same time that we are trying, at the same time that we open our hearts to the love of the Heavenly Father in this retreat, the love of Jesus the Son, the Savior, our brother, the King of Kings, and the love that is the Holy Spirit, at the same time that we are doing that, may we also open our hearts to the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We heard in the letter to the Romans, the first reading, you know, and if you attend daily Mass, or if you've been reading the daily Mass readings, you've been following along in Romans. We've been following along as a church, you know, and how St. Paul is reinforcing the notion that their righteousness, or the Romans, or especially those who had come to Christ from a Jewish background, that they had practiced Judaism and had converted to Christianity, they were wanting to take with them this practice of following the ceremonial precepts, the purification laws, and all of these things, and wanting to attach their, or make their holiness or their righteousness all about how well and how perfectly they did those things. You know, that was what gave them holiness, that's what made them righteous before God. And St. Paul is saying, he says, look at Abraham. Abraham didn't have these. I mean, those all came later. You know, these ceremonial precepts and purification laws and all of that, that all came later. Abraham didn't have that. He was just faithful to God. He trusted in God. And so this is something that we acknowledge and allow to really inspire us, you know, in the same. And because we hear at the end of this, we know, and the church teaches, that Abraham is our father in faith. And, you know, when we read his story, you know, about how he's told he's going to be this father of many nations and many descendants, but he in his old age and his wife was barren, couldn't have children. So how is that going to happen, right? Well, then when he finally does have his son with his wife, Isaac, then God asks him to sacrifice his son. And the letter to the Hebrews says that, he would have only done that if he had faith in the resurrection. He would have only proceeded to sacrifice his son Isaac if he had faith in the resurrection. And he just about did it until the angel of the Lord stayed his hand. And so Abraham definitely gives us that image of one who is trusting of God. You know, I read earlier, among many things, just the, you know, what St. John Paul II says in Crossing the Threshold of Hope, that original sin was rejection of fatherhood. Original sin was rejection of fatherhood and of our fathers, our Heavenly Father's fatherhood. But then, as we know, all throughout society, we can see effects of that, where there's a rejection of fatherhood in many, many other ways. And I'm not going to go into all of that. But he is our father in faith, Abraham is, because of these reasons, because of his life. And so we just ask for an ever greater spirit of that same faith and trust, an ever greater gift of that faith and trust. The enemy, from the very beginning with our first parents, it was all about trusting God. Can you trust him, or can you not trust him? Okay, that was the question, and we've been dealing with that ever since. So we ask the Lord to help us to that, you know, You know, obviously Jesus, the Son of God, trusted the Father, even as he was in the agony in the garden. He trusted the Father. I mean, you go back to that scene, and he prays three times, we're told. Father, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And I can't remember what gospel it is, but then when he's arrested, Peter cuts off the ear of the servant or soldier of the high priest, one of the high priest's servants and guards. And Jesus immediately, so, you know, like moments earlier, he was praying, Father, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then he says to Peter, what are you doing? Don't you know that this is the Father's will, you know, that I be arrested? I mean, it's amazing how, I mean, it just struck me profoundly on my retreat in July, how quickly he goes from, okay, I've prayed. He's just pouring out his heart, asking the Father to take that cup from him. And I have to say too, you know, at that time, okay, the Father was protecting you and me. The Father, our Heavenly Father, was protecting you and me. He had his own Son saying, let this cup pass from me. And the Heavenly Father's looking out on all of history, looking out on all of us and saying, as much as this pains me, my Son, we have to allow this for us. And so it just struck me that, you know, and reflecting on that, that the Father, the Heavenly Father, was protecting us, even though his own Son was asking to be delivered from that moment, from that trial. And that's the kind of love that the Heavenly Father has for us. And that's also the kind of trust that Jesus had in his Father. He was never anything about Father's will, Father's mission, Father's will, Father's mission. That was it. Didn't mean that he didn't, I mean, he wanted, and he did, he cried out, can there be another plan, please? You know? Didn't keep him from doing that. Okay? And so in a certain way, that gives us permission, right? It gives us permission to cry out to our Father, you know, in the midst of trial, in the midst of suffering, anything, you know, but we put all in his hands. We put all in his hands. So our Abraham's our father in faith. But as we celebrate this Mass and as we go through this day, consecrating ourselves to the Blessed Mother, we would say that she is our mother in faith. She is our mother in faith. You know, Mary, there too, she gives us the example of total trust in God. And so we just want to give ourselves over to her. And just, you know, allow the love from her immaculate heart just to envelop our hearts, just smother us with her maternal love. Can we just allow ourselves to be loved by Mary? You know, whether we see her as our spiritual mother, I say this all the time, whether we see her as our spiritual mother or not, whether that really hits us here or even here, just know that she takes that seriously. Her Son told her to do that moments before he died. So that memory is etched, it's engraved in her heart, that we are to be her sons and daughters, you know, beginning with John, but obviously, as we know by extension, you and me. And so we are sons and daughters, not only of our Heavenly Father, but also of the Blessed Mother. And she helps us. She is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. We heard in the gospel passage how the Lord says, you know, first of all, he's talking about, you know, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Where you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Blessed Virgin Mary. Where you have the Blessed Virgin Mary, you also have the Holy Spirit. But how do we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Let's just look at that briefly. How do we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Well, either we don't think we need God's love, or we don't need his forgiveness, or we don't need the salvation that he offers us. We can do it on our own. So that's pride, right? That's pride. And so, you know, the sin against the Holy Spirit is a total lack of penitence, total lack of sorrow for sin, and thinking, I don't need a Savior. I don't need God to forgive me. The flip side of that is, flip side of the coin is, and so we can, it's easy to see the pride in that. Hopefully it's easy to see the pride in that, that I don't need a Savior. I can do whatever I want sort of thing. We understand that. We have plenty of examples of that in the world today. But then also, what about God can't forgive me for this or for that? God can't forgive me. Can't forgive me for this or for that. Okay? That's also pride as well. That's also pride as well, to say that because this, you know, however, you know, just whatever horrible thing I've done or series of things that I've done, there's just no way God could forgive that. And so then that's a rejection of the forgiveness of God as well. Not allowing God to forgive because we don't think that we can be forgiven. That's pride. It's pride. And so that's something we have to renounce as well. We have to tell God, you know, just renounce that. Let God be God. You know, let God be God in forgiving. So the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment that what you should say. And so the Holy Spirit, the Lord is promising. How awesome is that? The Lord is promising. He's really talking here about persecution. You know, the early Christians, these disciples, the apostles, they were going to be really tested. Their faith was really going to be tested. And we're kind of coming to that again in our world today with respect to Christianity, okay? Really going to be tested, persecuted. And he's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to have to say. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Trust that the Holy Spirit will help you in that moment, okay? Well, this is what it speaks to us, we could say about just prayer life in general. You know, just the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Spirit of the Father and the Son in you. And he is talking to you constantly. And so we just have to figure out those ways in which he is doing that. You know, how is he speaking to me in this given moment? And we have to be open to it. We have to receive it. Give ourselves quiet like we're doing now. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And we would say that he also wants us to draw us to his spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary, right? He so very much loves when we entrust ourselves to our mother in the faith. We also have the church as our mother, which mirrors and models the Blessed Virgin Mary. But, you know, just looking with respect to looking at the Blessed Virgin as our own mother, had a great image come to mind about a month or two ago, maybe somewhere in there, I don't know. I was talking to my mother on the phone, and we were talking about, I've got 11 nieces and nephews between the age of 1 and 16, okay? And so we were talking a little bit about what it takes to get the younger ones to take a nap or get them to sleep or whatever, you know. I'm sure nobody here can relate to that, right? One of the things my mom said, and it just really spoke to me, she said, well, what I do with Isaac, my one-year-old nephew, the youngest, what I do with Isaac is I take him and I put him up to my chest and I cover his one ear on the outside and I put his other ear up to my chest so that all he can hear is my heartbeat. And then he goes to sleep. And I thought, isn't that what the Blessed Mother does for us? That's what she wants. That's what she's doing right here, trying to cover one ear, put the other ear up to her heartbeat. And you know, honestly, when I look at this statue behind me, it kind of conveys that to me. You know, the closeness of the Son of God, her child, you know, up against her chest, and to hear her heartbeat. And so may we just allow ourselves to do that. We allow the Blessed Mary, Virgin Mary, to put us up to her heart so that we can hear her heart beating. And the Holy Spirit is not far behind. He guides us in that.